Father, thank you that we can serve you all of our days. Thank you that you sent your only begotten Son, that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again. He was our Pashal Lamb. He paid for the sins of the world. That through faith in him, through belief, through obedience, because of his work, I can be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Father, in these days, may we truly have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. As you've told us to come out of her, my people, that we partake not of her sins and her plagues, we see even dramatically more today the need to heed, to obey, to be on that narrow path. We thank you that you are the chain breaker, but not just of our pains, but of the sins that so easily beset us. We thank you that you came and delivered us from the bondage, and that we are to leave Egypt nevermore to look back, but to walk forward to that promised land that you have told us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we each search our hearts. May we repent during these days. For you have promised if your people, who are called by your name, would humble themselves and pray, seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, then you would hear from heaven and you would heal our land. We ask these things in your name, Yeshua. Amen. Welcome to Choose Life Congregation, our live broadcast, or if you're joining us by podcast, we're glad to have you with us as we are still under the shelter-in-place order here in Mississippi. But we hope to be meeting back together soon. We're praying and seeking and saying, Father, when do we obey what the government is saying, and when do we obey the Constitution that gives us the right and freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, trying to have wisdom in these days to balance one's health and our rights that are being eroded during this time of the pandemic in the name of public safety. And what's coming in the days ahead. As we are counting the Omer, this is week one, day seven. We have 43 more days to go to Shavuot. I encourage you during these times to be seeking, to be praying, as we are in the midst of a fundamental change in society and in the world, and just to see where that comes from. Excited as we look at today's portion. If you are following the triennial parashah, the portion for today was Exodus 13, 1 through 20. But I'm going to extend that into part of next week's as well and go all the way from 13, 1 through 14, 15. I believe it's relevant for these times and days and just for the message that as I was studying and preparing. So let's just begin to look at that. If you recall, the last few weeks, we've studied as Moshe went into Pharaoh and that Yah, by his mighty hand, brought out the children of Israel. Pesach was last week, and in the triennial parashah of Pesach was last week, the plague of the firstborn, and those who had the blood upon the doorpost were passed over. And then the children of Israel came out. We pick that up today in Exodus 13:1. And Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, "Set apart to me all the firstborn, the ones opening the womb among the children of Israel, among man and among beast. It is mine." Moshe said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out of Mitzrayim, out of the house of slavery, for by strength of hand Yah brought you out of this place, and whatever is leavened shall not be eaten. Today you're going out in the new moon Abib, and it shall be when Yah brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this new moon. 7 days you eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day it is a festival to Yah. Unleavened bread is to be eaten the 7 days. On our hands and between our eyes, that the Torah of Yah is to be in your mouth." Now, the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, had not even been given yet. They had not gone yet to Sinai, but he's already confirming that his law was to be in their mouth. How could the law be in their mouth if it had not yet been given? But as we've said before, I believe the Ten Commandments were a re-giving or a giving anew of the things that had been passed down as Yah walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, as Adam spoke with his children, and as they spoke to Enoch and to Abraham and to Noah, to Abraham and to Jacob. And as we see sacrifices and days of rest and clean and unclean with Noah, that we see many hints to the commands long before here. But as you remember, the children of Israel had been in Egypt for over 400 years. They seem to have lost most of their ways. So I believe Yah was again re-giving them. And here, the observance was to be a sign on their hand and reminder between their eyes. Why is that important for us to keep it, for it to be a reminder, a sign? Let's glance at Revelations chapter 7, verse 3. If you go back at verse 1, he says he saw the four messengers standing at the four corners of the earth, and he saw another messenger, verse 2. And his name shall be upon their foreheads. We know in other places it speaks of the mark of the beast written upon their hands and upon their foreheads. So we have a choice of whose mark we will receive. We have a choice of whose mark will be upon our hand and between our eyes. Will it be our obedience to his Torah, to his commands, to his appointed times? Or will we be able to be deceived in the end and take the mark of the beast, of the great whore of Babylon, of the world's system? Again, Exodus 13:9, it shall be a sign for you on your hand, and as a reminder between your eyes that the Torah of Yah is to be in your mouth. For with a strong hand Yah has brought you out of Mitzrayim, and you shall guard this law at his appointed time from year to year. And it shall be when Yah brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall give over to Yah everyone opening the wound and every firstborn that comes from the livestock. The males belong to Yah, but every firstborn of a donkey you are to ransom with a lamb. And if you do not ransom it, then you shall break its neck, and every firstborn of man among your sons are to be ransomed. And it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What is this?" Then you shall say to him, "By strength of hand, Yah brought us out of Mitzrayim and out of the house of bondage. And it came to be when Pharaoh was too hardened to let us go that Yah killed every firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I'm slaughtering to Yah every male that opens the womb, but every firstborn of my sons I ransom. And it shall be a sign on your hand and a frontlet between your eyes. For by strength of hand, Yah brought us out of Mitzrayim." So again, we see that obedience, observing his times, ransoming the firstborn, looking forward to his firstborn, his only begotten son. That salvation is coming, and that by holding those things in our hands, between our eyes, in our foreheads, his Torah being in our mouth, guarding, choosing life, that we can stay on that narrow way. Verse 17, it came to be when Pharaoh had let the people go, that Elohim did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, though that was near, for Elohim said, "Lest the people regret when they see fighting and return to Mitzrayim. So Elohim led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Sea of Reeds, and the children of Israel went up in fives from the land of Mitzrayim. And Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him, for he certainly made the children of Israel swear, saying, Elohim shall certainly visit you, and you shall bring my bones from here with you. And they departed from Succoth and camped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And Yah went before them by day in a column of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a column of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. The column of cloud did not cease by day, nor the column of fire by night before the people. And he has promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Messiah promised that when he left, he would send the Comforter. He would send another. We have his Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit, to lead us, guide us, direct us, teach us, if we will but listen. 14:1, and Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi Habiroth, between Migdal and the sea, opposite Baal Siphon, camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh shall say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has closed them in, and I shall strengthen the heart of Pharaoh, and he shall pursue them, but I am to be esteemed through Pharaoh and over all his army, and the Mitzrayites shall know that I am Yah. And they did so. And it was reported to the sovereign of Mitzrayim that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servant was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made his chariot ready and took his people with him, and he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Mitzrayim with officers over all of them. And Yah strengthened the heart of Pharaoh, sovereign of Mitzrayim, and he pursued the children of Israel, but the children of Israel went out defiantly. And the Mitzrayites pursued them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea between Pi Hahiroth before Baal Siphon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes and saw the Mitzrayite coming up after them. And they were greatly afraid, so the children of Israel cried out to Yah. And they said to Moshe, did you take us away to die in the wilderness, because there were no burial sites in Mitzrayim? What is this you have done to us to bring us up out of Mitzrayim? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Mitzrayim, saying, leave us alone and let us serve the Mitzrayites, for it would have been better for us to serve the Mitzrayites than to die in the wilderness? You know, during this time, this pandemic, when many have said, oh, Father, deliver us from the bondage that we're in, from the world that we're in, from the lack of time we have for family, for the things that are important. And now most people have more time than they know what to do with. And many are saying, oh, why do we not just go back to the way things were last year? Oh, that we could return to normal. Is it better that we will still be in bondage from the Mitzrayites? Are we seeing his deliverance in the wilderness, regardless of how things look, regardless that we seem trapped, regardless that it seems impending doom is upon us? Do we have faith that if we have been walking, if we have been choosing life, then those things will overtake us? Do we truly believe that he is able to keep us and to complete that which he has begun in us? Verse 13, and Moshe said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still, and see the deliverance of Yah, which he does for you today. For the Mitzrayite whom you see today you are never, never to see again. Yah does fight for you, and you keep silent. And Yah spoke to Moshe, why do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel, and let them go forward. As I prayed this week, as we've been seeking and searching, as we've been counting the Omer, as we've been looking during this time, I'm thankful that for months the Father told us to speak, prepare, prepare, come out of her, my people. Be wise virgins and not foolish virgins. Make sure you have enough oil. And now we see why that word was coming. And oh, the blessing of having put aside some stores. And though we don't trust in our ability, we don't trust in horses and chariots, we don't trust in the things we have done, we trust in obeying what the Father has told us. And even as Noah, by faith, built the ark because the Father told him to. And though the Father gave him the plans and the direction, he had to build the ark. And when it was completed, the Father told him when to go in. The Father shut the door. But yet that which he had obeyed and done was his salvation, the salvation for many others. So I'm thankful that he had been telling many to prepare, that many had heeded that call. And I want to continue to hear, to listen of what is coming in the days ahead so that we can again prepare, that it will not overtake us as the thief in the night, but that the watchman on the wall will see what is coming. And that we will be alerted. I believe the word is coming to us again to go forward, not to be passive during these days, because Yah does fight for us. We need to be silent and not be complaining, moaning, bemoaning, worried, fearful during this time. But nor do we need to be placid about the loss of the rights that we have seen. That our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights say that we were created and endowed by these things from our Creator, that He gave us these rights, not the government. So we need to take seriously not just our physical health and the health of all of those who are around us, but the right to have life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. To count the cost of giving up our freedom of assembly, our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, our freedom from unlawful search and seizure. For the supposed security of seeing the pandemic slow. But it's not just this pandemic, because we've given up those things in the name of security from terrorism, in the name of convenience, in the name of many things, our freedoms have slowly been being eroded. But now many are clamoring for even more freedoms to be taken, that they can be protected. Yet we know that our protection is only in him gathering us under his wings. Our protection is in being covered with the blood of the Lamb that the destroyer passes over. And that protection is that he has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing, and told us to choose life, given us a way that we can walk, and commanded us to come out of her, my people, to be set apart, that we partake not in the sins and the plagues. So I encourage you today, lift up your eyes and see from where your help comes. Ask the Father to show you during these times what he is doing. And be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. For so many that are fearful, are losing hope, are uncertain of the days ahead. To look into his appointed times and to see the days that are coming. Part of celebrating Pesach of Passover is to look back and to remember the miracles that he did so that we can be encouraged that he again can do those things for us. That his arm is not short concerning his promises. That he's not a man given to lie. That he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That we can strengthen ourselves for the days ahead. And to know that he will bring us through if we are walking worthy of the calling of which we've been called. Let's look at Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46:3 was the Haftorah portion. We're going to read 3 through the end of the chapter, down through verse 13. It says, "Listen to me, O house of Yaakov, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who were born from the belly, who are carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs, I carry. I have made, and I bear, and I carry, and rescue. Even to those who are the most vulnerable in these days, he is our source. He is our help in the ever-present time of trouble. He is able from the womb, from the belly, even to the old age, to the gray hairs. I am he, I carry, I have made, and I bear, and I carry and rescue. Verse 5, to whom do you liken me and compare me and make me similar that we should be alike? They pour gold out of the bag and weigh silver on the scale. They hire a goldsmith, and he makes it a mighty one. They fall down, they also bow themselves. They bear it on the shoulder, they carry it and set it in place, and it stands. From its place it does not move. Though one cries out to it, it does not answer, nor save him from his distress. Remember this and show yourselves, men, turn it back, your transgressors. Remember the former events of old, for I am El, and there is no one else. Elohim, as there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from of old that which has not yet been done, saying, my counsel does stand, and all my delight I do. Remember the old events, the days of old in the wilderness, as sin was in the camp, plagues broke out. Yet Yah was able to stop the plagues as those individuals would obey. Yet many are looking to science, looking to medicine, looking for a wonder drug to come out and save us from this pandemic. Yet with all of our modern medicine, we have people dying daily, not just from the COVID-19, but from diabetes, from heart disease, from pneumonia, from a myriad of ailments. We have fibromyalgia that they can't even hardly identify or cure. We have chronic illness, underlying conditions rampant in this nation. We're encouraged every year to get the flu vaccine. Yet the flu kills more people every year than COVID-19 has so far. Just a couple of years ago, I believe it was the 2017-2018 flu season, maybe it was 2018-2019, one of those two. The H1N1 killed almost 70,000 people. Yet not near had been panicked. The country hadn't been shut down. Our freedoms hadn't been abridged. Yet many are looking for a vaccine as a way out for this one. And while I am thankful for our medical establishment, grateful for those first responders, the doctors and nurses who are putting themselves in harm's way, thankful that my wife has been saved because of medicine, knowing most important who is the great physician, who is our healer, and looking first and foremost into his ways and what he says as our source. And I believe he is making even more of a separation during these days and shaking all of the idols that we have put our trust in and seeing how unprepared those idols are to try to get us to realize that he is our only hope. Not science, not politics, not medicine, not public policy, but that though heaven and earth will pass away, yet his word remains forever. And that knowing the truth will set me free. May we truly know in these days where to turn, where to look for, where to find our help. Isaiah 46:11, calling a bird of prey from the east. Isn't that interesting? The man who executes my counsel from a distant land, indeed I have spoken it. I also bring it to pass. I have planned it, I also do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted who are far from righteousness. I shall bring my righteousness near, it is not far off, and my deliverance, it is not delayed. And I shall give deliverance in Zion, my esteem to Israel. Again, his deliverance, he's already promised it. In his righteousness, that he has told us a way to walk. For we know already, he said, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, being able to walk in righteousness, that Yeshua came and paid for my sin, that I could be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that I no longer have to walk that way, then he would give deliverance in Zion. Hebrews chapter 8. The apostolic portion was Hebrews 8, 6 through 9, 1, and then 9, 13, and 15. But I'm also going to look at chapter 10 through 11, 8, and 12, 1 through 29. Again, we see here, as we'll look through this New Testament portion, what the scripture says about our covenant and how we are to walk and apply it and live it during these days. So let's begin at Hebrews 8, 6. But now he, speaking of our Messiah, has obtained a more excellent service, insomuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was constituted on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. So right here we see the first covenant, the giving of the Torah, the giving of the law, was not faultless. Well, why is that? Didn't Paul say he saw the Torah and the Torah was good? And the Torah was excellent. The Torah was righteous. Did not the Torah come from God? Then how was it a fault? Now, when I was growing up, I was told these verses meant it was done away with. But it didn't say that here. It just says it had fault. It wasn't faultless. Or there wouldn't have been a need for a second. Well, through scripture, it tells us over and over again, the problem was not with Torah. The problem was we didn't follow it. We didn't keep it. Over and over, we chose death. We chose cursings. And that's what we got. And that because of my sin, I was not able to keep it. That as Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I end up doing. Woe is me. Hebrews 8:8. For finding fault with them, he says, see, the days are coming, says Yah, when I shall conclude with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda a renewed covenant, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Mitzrayim, because they did not continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, says Yah. Again, the problem was not in the covenant. It was that we did not continue in it. So verse 10, because this is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yah, giving my laws in their minds, and I shall write them on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. They shall by no means teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know Yah, because they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, because I shall forgive their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawlessness, I shall no longer remember. So let's look at this. One day it says he's going to write or give his laws in our minds and write them on our hearts. Now, if the law has been done away with, if Yeshua came and nailed it to the cross, so that it is no more, then why is the Father writing it in our minds and upon our hearts? What is it that we'll no longer have to teach? Because we'll already know, is it not his laws that will be written in our minds and our hearts? Well, I've heard some argue, say, well, that's exactly what Messiah did. He did away with the law, he fulfilled all, and now it's written in our minds and in our hearts. Then is there no longer a need for us to teach each one his neighbor? Because from the least to the greatest of them, do they all know his law and his ways and who he is? Or did Messiah himself tell us to go forth, to be witnesses, to make disciples? So to me, it's obvious here that this is a day coming, a day in the future. And we know already, it says of heaven, there will be no sin there because sin will have already been dealt with. Why will there be no sin there? What does Scripture say is sin? Transgression of the law. Well, if he's written his law in my mind and my heart, so then that I do them, of course there'll be no sin because there'll be no transgression of the law. Not that the law is done away with, but that I now will be able to follow the law because sin has been dealt with. My nature has been dealt with. And just as we read last week that Yeshua was the firstborn among many brethren, one day even this body of sin will be dealt with. This flesh will be dealt with. So that I will be able to walk fully and to know as I am known. Verse 13, but saying renewed, he has made the first old. Now what becomes old and growing age is near disappearing. Doesn't say it's gone yet. And when it's gone, what is it replaced with? He just told us it's replaced with Yah putting those things on our heart and our mind. So that even as Messiah came and taught, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. You've heard it said, you should not commit murder, but I say you shouldn't even hate your brother. You've committed murder already. Then instead of just simple actions, they literally will become the way I think. They will be on my heart, the way I feel. They will be my passion. They will be the things I want to do. And then what will naturally occur from that? Well, he's told us we will have chose life. And Yeshua said life and life abundantly. That the blessings will overtake us. That there will be no more sin. And therefore no more curses, no more sorrow, no more pain. Just as heaven speaks of. That in the new Jerusalem, in the renewed earth, we will live as he lived and walk as he walked. Hebrews 9:1. Now, the first covenant indeed had regulations of worship and the earthly set-apart place, and then it goes on to speak more about that. Let's go down to verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the defiled set apart for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the everlasting Spirit offered himself unblemished to Elohim, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? So again, we say, see here, he said the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer set apart the defiled, made for the cleansing of flesh. Now, not for the forgiveness of sin. We know the scripture says that the blood of bulls and goats didn't deal with sin. That's why Messiah came. And we know that he says he took no pleasure in the blood of bull and goats. Why is that? Well, because we only had to sacrifice because of our sins, our transgressions. What he desired was obedience, not sacrifice. That's why the scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. Yet here it says there was power even in that old covenant, but now how much more because of what Yeshua has done? But what does his blood do for us? It cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve Elohim. How do we serve him? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is that then not law? Is that not exactly what Father gave us back in Torah, in Deuteronomy, when he set before us life and death? Obedience or disobedience? Did Messiah himself say he did not come to preach his own, but to speak the things he heard Father speak? That he and his Father was one. Verse 15, and because of this, he is the mediator of a renewed covenant, so that death having taken place for redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, those who are called might receive the promise of the everlasting inheritance. Let's go forward to Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the Torah, having a shadow of the good matters to come, and not the image itself of the matters, was never able to make perfect those who draw near with the same slaughterings, offerings, which they offer continually, year by year. Otherwise, would not they have ceased to be offered? Because those who served, once cleansed, would have had no more conscience of sins. But in those offerings is a reminder of sin year by year. For it is impossible for bloods of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, coming into the world, he says, slaughterings and meal offerings, excuse me, you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In ascending offerings and offerings for sin, you did not delight. Then I said, see, I come in the roll of the book. It is being written concerning me to do your desire, O Elohim. That is what he wants. Not our sacrifices for sin, for disobedience, but to do his desire. How do we know Yah's desire? Well, he told them his desire. Have no other gods before me. Don't take his name in vain. Don't make any graven images. Keep the Sabbath. Honor our mother and father. Don't murder. Don't steal. He told us through the Decalogue, through the Ten Commandments. Then he explained to those further, through all the mitzvahs, all the right rulings, all of the commands, all of the laws. So they applied those commands. And all of those commands were only an explanation, even the 10, of the two. Love Yah, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that his delight is for us to love him and love one another. His delight is to love us. So he gave us what that should look like, how to accomplish those things. So that as we walk in love, it says it hides a multitude of sin. That as we walk in love, it bears all. It believes all. That as we walk in love, we know that faith and hope and love, but that love is the greatest. Verse 8 saying, slaughtering and meal offerings and sin offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire nor delighted in, which are offered according to the Torah. Then he said, see, I come to do your desire, O Elohim. He takes away the first to establish the second. Again, I am to do his desire. And now, because Messiah has paid for my sins, because he has been my sacrifice, now he gives me the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me, to convict me of sin, and to empower me to do his desire, to walk worthy of the calling of which I've been called, to run the race that has been set afore me, to take up my cross daily, to die to self, to live for Messiah, that it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside of me. To present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yah, my reasonable service, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed through the renewing of my mind, that I might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God, to be washed with the water of the word, to take every thought captive, and to the obedience so that now because of the great price that I have been purchased with, I am no longer a slave to sin. I have come out of Egypt, of Mitzrayim, of bondage. He truly was the chain breaker and set us free and brought us out with a mighty hand. Now I don't need to return, but I need to walk in that newness of life. Verse 10, by that desire we have been set apart through the offering of the body of Yeshua Messiah once for all. By what desire? The desire to do his desire, O Elohim. So we have been set apart to do that desire. Verse 11, and indeed every priest stands day by day doing service and repeatedly offering the same slaughter offerings, which are never able to take away sins. But he, having offered one slaughter offering for sin for all time, sat down at the right hand of Elohim, waiting from that time onward until his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are being set apart. And the set apart spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, also witnesses to us. For after having said, this is the covenant that I shall make with them after those days, says Yah, giving my laws into their hearts and in their minds I shall write them, and their sins and their lawlessness I shall remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer a slaughter offering for sin. So, brothers, having boldness to enter into the set-apart place by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way which he instituted for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart and completeness of belief, having our hearts sprinkled from a wicked conscience and our bodies washed with clean water. Let us hold fast the confession of our expectation without yielding, for he who promised is trustworthy. What is the confession of our expectation? He told us up there that this is the covenant that he would make with us in those days, that he's going to write his laws in our hearts and in our minds. Then that I would be able to accomplish his desire. And so because Yeshua has paid such a great price, because he is my high priest, then I'm to draw near with a true heart in completeness of belief. Having our hearts sprinkled from a wicked conscience and our bodies washed with water, and hold fast the confession that I expect without yielding. Because he who promised is trustworthy. And to make sure we understood it, verse 24, he goes on and reiterates, let us be concerned for one another in order to stir up love and good works. Because those things are the same. I mean, they're not completely the same, but it's faith without works is dead. If I have love, I'm going to have the actions that love you. If I say I love you, then I'm going to treat you with love. By the things I do, you will see that I love you. And conversely, the way I treat you will greatly determine whether or not you feel love, regardless of what I say. So we know that love is not just a concept, not just a thought, but is literally an action, a way of life, an expression. And so the writer of Hebrews told us, let us be concerned for one another, verse 24, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging, and so much more as you see the day coming near. For if we sin purposely, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a slaughter offering for sin, but some fearsome anticipation of judgment and a fierce fire which is about to consume the opponents. Anyone who has disregarded the Torah of Moshe dies without compassion on the witness of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think shall he deserve who has trampled the son of Elohim underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was set apart as common, and insulted the spirit of favor? That's not me talking. This is Hebrews, the New Testament, the New Covenant, speaking specifically about Yeshua and his blood put into the holy place, by which now we have access, that we can cry, Abba, Father, that we can come boldly into the Holy of Holies, not made with hands. Verse Verse 28, anyone who has disregarded the Torah of Moshe dies without compassion on the witness of two or three witnesses. What does that mean? How did you deserve death under the Torah? It was the disobedience. If you disobeyed one of the laws, one of the commands, one of the right rulings, and on the testimony of two or more witnesses, it was established, and the Torah said that was a sin worthy of death. Then we were told to put sin out of the camp, out of the land. And just as we have a higher, a better, a renewed covenant because of Messiah's blood, and that now we have a promise, an expectation, a testimony that he's going to write his laws upon our hearts and our minds. He also speaks here of those who would trample the Son of Elohim underfoot. That would count the blood of the covenant by which he was set apart as common. What does that mean, common? Well, if you recall, you had things common and things set apart, or things dedicated to Yah, things that were to be used for his service. Do we now believe the promise? Do we have the expectation? Do we have the testimony in our mouth? Or are we counting his blood as not able to do what he has promised? Are we counting it as common that I can do whatever with it I want to? Or do we see our lives, our actions, ourselves as set apart, as purchased, as washed in the blood, as called into his service? Therefore, that I'm no longer my own, but I've been bought with a price. Verse 29, how much worse punishment do you think he deserves who has trampled the Son of Elohim underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was set apart as common, and insulted the spirit of favor? For we know him who has said, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, says Yah, and again Yah shall judge his people. It is fearsome to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. But remember the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. On the one hand, you were exposed to reproaches and pressures, and on the other hand, you became sharers with those who were so treated. For you sympathized with me in my chains, and you accepted with joy the seizure of your possessions, knowing that you have a better and lasting possession for yourselves in the heavens. Do not then lose your boldness, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the desire of Elohim, you receive the promise. For yet a little while, he who is coming shall come and shall not delay. But the righteous shall live by belief, but if anyone draws back, my being has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to destruction, but of belief to the preservation of life. Let us believe. Let us not shrink back in the days ahead, regardless of where this pandemic takes us. Let us not put aside what we know the Father has called us to do, what we know He has desired us to do, the commands that He has given us, that regardless of what man says, as Peter and John said, should we obey man or God, we shall obey what Yah has said. Hebrews 11:1, belief is the substance of what is expected, the proof of what is not seen, for by this the elders obtain witness. By belief, we understand that the ages were prepared by the word of Elohim, so that what is seen was not made of what is visible. So we understand by belief or by faith, Yah created. We can walk outside right now and actually see His creation. The trees, the flowers, the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, our fellow beings. That again, faith led to an action, a work. It wasn't just a dream in His mind, but it became a reality. Verse 4, by belief, Abel offered to Elohim a greater slaughtering offering than Cain, to which he obtained witness that he was righteous, Elohim witnessing of his gifts, and through it, having died, he still speaks. By belief, Enoch was translated so as not to see death, and was not found because Elohim had translated him. For before his translation, he obtained witness that he pleased Elohim. But without belief, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to Elohim has to believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. By belief, Noah, having been warned of what was yet unseen, having feared, prepared an ark to save his house, to which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to belief. By belief, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he was about to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. You can continue reading in chapter 11. It is the faith chapter, many call, but over and over you'll see that by faith they obeyed. By faith they acted. By faith they did. And that we see here, as James said, that faith without works is dead, that belief is not a passive response, but that just as we are told to Shema, to hear and obey, that that is the essence of faith. That by faith we obey, by faith we act, by faith we believe, that by faith we can read His word, and that we can choose life. Let's look forward to Hebrews 12, starting at verse 2. We too, then, having so great a cloud of witnesses all around us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. If the law has been done away with, how is there still sin? For He told us without the Torah, there is no knowledge of sin. But we are commanded to let us lay it aside and to run with endurance the race set before us. What race? He told us in 10, the earnest expectation that he would, excuse me, write his law upon our members, upon our minds and our hearts, that we could fulfill his desire. Looking to the prince and perfecter of our belief, of our faith, Yeshua, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, having despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. That we are to look to Messiah, who did what? Obeyed even unto death, who said, Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, let it pass. But not my will, but thy will be done. That is the crux, that it is not my will, but thy will to be done. That every day I'm taking up my stake, my cross. That I'm dying to self to live to him. That I'm to reckon the old man to be passed away. That I'm a new creation. For consider him who endured such opposition from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your lives. For you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We are called to strive against our will. Strive against the things that would keep us from doing his desire. Have we resisted yet unto blood? You have forgotten the appeal which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the discipline of Yah, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For whom Yah loves, he disciplines and he flogs every son whom he receives. If you endure discipline, Elohim is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Moreover, we indeed had fathers of our flesh disciplining us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed disciplined us for a few days as seemed best to them, but he does it for our profit, so that we might share his apartness. And indeed, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but grievous, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, obedience to the law, to those who have been trained by it. So, strengthen the hands which hang down and the weak knees, and make paths straight for your feet. Thy word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. Lest the lame be turned aside, but instead to be healed. Pursue peace with all. Pursue a partner without which no one shall see the master. See to it that no one falls short of the favor, the grace of Elohim, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, by which many become defiled, unclean. Captured again in sin. Verse 16, lest there be any who whores or profane one who, like Esau, for a single meal sold his birthright. Do not sell what he has so given us for sin that's pleasant for a season, but the end thereof is death and destruction. For you know that afterwards, when he wished to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. For you have not drawn near to a mountain touched and scorched with fire, and to blackness and darkness and storm, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that no further word should be spoken to them, for they cannot bear what was commanded. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot through with an arrow. And so fearsome was the sight that Moshe said, I exceedingly fear and tremble. But you have drawn near to Mount Zion and to the city of the living Elohim, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of messengers, to an entire gathering and assembly of the firstborn, having been enrolled in heaven, and to Elohim, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Yeshua, the mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkling, to the blood of sprinkling, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Take heed not to refuse the one speaking. For if those do not escape who refuse the warning on earth, much less we who turn away from him from heaven, whose voice shook the earth then. When did a voice shake the earth? When he gave the commandments on Sinai. But now he is promising, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And this, yet once more, makes clear the removal of what is shaken as having been said, so that the unshaken might remain. Therefore, receiving an unshakable rain, let us hold the favor, the grace, the faith through which we serve Elohim pleasingly with reverence and awe, for indeed our Elohim is a consuming fire. So even here at the end, when everything that is shaken has been shaken and that which cannot be shaken remains, what is the end? It says we serve Elohim pleasingly with reverence and awe. We do his desire. We obey. We keep his commands, which he writes in our minds and in our hearts, that he might be our God, that we might be his people. We know the scripture says, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Yeshua is Messiah. That one day he shall receive all the kingdoms and he shall turn and lay them down at his Father's feet. But we have the choice today, as Joshua did long ago, to say, this day, me and my house, we shall serve Yahuwah. We have the choice today to call upon the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, to be born again, to trust in him, to place our faith in his sacrifice, for him to be the payment for my sin, but not to stop there, but to walk in newness of life, to hold with the earnest expectation that the Ruach HaKodesh will write his laws upon my mind and my inward members. That as I study to show myself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, that his word that is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword will divide asunder. That by belief, by faith, as Noah built the ark, so we can build the ark in our lives of his word, his commands, his right rulings, that regardless of the flood that comes, it will be our salvation. That by faith, as Abraham obeyed, each day, each moment, we have the same choice, by faith to obey. In these days ahead and in these times, as we look forward to his deliverance, as we are counting the Omer, to his next appointed time, may we truly walk worthy of the calling of which we've been called. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, thank you for your word that is yes and amen. Thank you for your only begotten Son, who in the beginning was the Word and was with God and was God, who became flesh and dwelt among us, who lived a sinless life and endured suffering even to the cross, raised up and said, "It is finished." Buried, but not kept there. Raised on the third day, the first fruits among many brethren, and is now seated at the right hand until all the enemies are made his footstools. May we truly pray to see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ruach HaKodesh, may you strengthen us, heal us, overshadow us in these days ahead, as we are called to step forth, to step out, to step up. To lift you up, Yeshua, that you may draw many unto you, and that we might do our good works, that they might glorify our Father who art in heaven. Amen.
Shema
Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. Shabbat Shalom.